If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Amos, Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5, before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you're a seeking God. You sent your Son to earth. Flesh and blood is substance. He came without reluctance and offered himself to seek and save that which was lost. And Father, we proclaim him this morning. We pray, Lord, if there is one who does not know him, that they would turn to you, that they would be drawn to Christ through his word. And we pray for us, Lord, who are believers, who have professed Christ as our Savior. We pray that we might be changed as well. Father, we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amos chapter 5, verse 1. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Verse 6. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there is none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave righteousness in the earth. Verse 8. Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. That strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. For as much therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Verse 14. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, Alas, alas! And they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And all the vineyards shall be wailing. For I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Not a happy message, is it? Lamentation, wailing, alas, alas, mourning, lamentation to wailing, wailing. Here we have in Amos a lamentation over Israel. We're going to see the reason for this lamentation. We're going to see the remedy for Israel. And we're going to see the result of refusing God's remedy. Amos 5 verse 1, he says, Hear ye this word which I have taken up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. This is the third time we see this phrase, hear this word. We saw it back in chapter 3, verse 1, where the prophet Amos says, Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the nations of the earth. Amos was giving an explanation of God's divine calling on Israel. He calls them my children, O children, the family of Israel, brought up out of Egypt. The second time we saw this, hear this word, was in chapter 4, verse 1. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountains of Samaria, which oppose the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, Bring and let us drink. Amos was making an accusation about Israel's sin. They were guilty of luxurious living, living at the expense of the poor and exploiting them. Luxury obtained by oppression. He told them that they were guilty of hypocrisy, assuming an appearance of religious piety by sacrificing in the wrong manner, in the wrong place, at the wrong altar, with the wrong attitude. Amos accused them of their guilt of obstinacy, persistent stubbornness. God says to him through Amos, I've given you empty stomachs and lack of bread, famine. He says, I've withheld rain and drought. I've struck with blight and mildew your gardens and your vineyards. And the locusts have devoured the fig and the olive trees. He's brought destruction upon them. He says, I've sent plagues, pestilence, disease. He says, your young men and your horses have been killed in war. He's brought them defeat. The Lord says he overthrew some of them, as in Sodom and Gomorrah. He brought on them devastation. And some of them were snatched out like a burning stick from the fire. And yet the Lord says, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. He gave them calamity and they didn't turn from it. Now, we as believers, when calamity comes into our lives, such as these things, it's an opportunity for God in chastening us or refining our faith, bringing us closer to Him and trusting in Him. And for the unbeliever, these can be circumstances, these can be opportunities that bring a person to Christ, or they can drive him further away. Verse 12, as Amos speaks here in chapter 4. Therefore, this is what I will do to you, Israel, and because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Amos tells them to prepare to meet the God of judgment because of their unrepentant hearts. Now, when Amos makes this command to prepare to meet God, he is speaking for God to the people, to the nation, the people Israel, the northern kingdom. He is speaking for God, And so his speech is not mean-spirited, but lovingly. It's not cold-hearted, but tender-hearted. It's not harsh, but it's with grace. It's not condemning, but it's inviting. He's speaking the truth in love, using words of grace, seasoned with salt. That's how God speaks. And that's how we should speak to the unrepentant sinner. Now, with this background and context of Amos recalling God's attempt to bring them to himself, God commands Amos to take up this lamentation against Israel because they've refused to come to him. They've refused to return to him. Chapter 5, verse 1. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen, shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city went out by 1,000, shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord God unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. This is called a lamentation. Amos is lamenting. It's an act of crying out in grief, wailing. You might call it a funeral dirge or a funeral song, an elegy, a song of mourning. Have you ever seen that in a funeral? Where people just pour out their hearts in wailing and sorrow for their lost loved one, the one who's gone on, the one who's died. You know, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He wrote the book of Lamentations. And Jeremiah wept over the fate of Jerusalem. But I believe Amos, the prophet, is also a weeping prophet. Amos wept over the fate of the northern kingdom, Israel. And we see here four times in these first four verses, Israel's referred to. Verse 1, the house of Israel. Verse 2, the virgin of Israel. Verse 3, again, to the house of Israel. And verse 4, unto the house of Israel. But then he also refers to this northern kingdom in verse 6, the house of Joseph. And again down in verse 15, the remnant of Joseph. Why does he call them Joseph? Well, Jacob had 12 sons. One of them was Joseph. And Joseph had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Ephraim was the chief tribe of the northern kingdom. Frequently referred to in Hosea, the northern kingdom is frequently referred to as Ephraim. But being the son of Joseph, it is here called the remnant of Joseph, the house of Joseph, those who would be left after God has gone through his judgment. Now, we have the reason here for Amos' lamentation, his wailing. Verses 2, 3, and 8. Amos writes this. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. The virgin of Israel is fallen. He calls her a virgin, not because she's undefiled by sin. The northern kingdom there is full of sin, but because she is unconquered. She has a national beauty of prosperity and power and peace. But she is fallen. The unconquered will be conquered and she will suffer a loss of wealth, loss of power, and loss of peace. She shall rise no more. She will no longer exist as an independent nation, but she will be forced to intermarry with the Gentiles and become the Samaritan people. She'll be forsaken upon her land. She'll be abandoned, given up, renounced, turned over to the Assyrians for exile. There will be none to raise her up. No man will be able to stop this. And God would not stop it because of their unrepentant heart. He says, an army goes out, in verse 3, an army goes out 1,000 and 100 return. 100 go forth and 10 return. The 10% solution. God will see that as the army goes out, only 10% come back. 90% are destroyed. And so Amos laments for these people in the northern kingdom, begging them to seek the Lord and live. And that's the remedy for Israel in verses 4, 6, and 8. Verse 4, but thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Verse 6, seek the Lord, and ye shall live. Verse 8, seek him. Amos is pleading for them to seek the Lord because the alternative is death. Judgment is coming. The second part of verse 6. Lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. We had the picture of fire in the first two chapters of Amos as he brings judgment on the six Gentile nations, consuming them with fire. He does the same thing to Judah in chapter 2, bringing judgment on them with fire. And now he speaks to the northern kingdom Israel and says, a fire will break out and it will consume them. It will devour the northern kingdom. We're reminded in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In chapter 12, verse 29, why is it a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God? For God is a consuming fire. And so Amos tells them to seek the Lord. He says in verse 5, but seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Remember, they were making sacrifices in Bethel and in Gilgal. He says, don't go to Gilgal. They'll be taken into captivity. There'll be no one to help you there. He says, go not to Beersheba. Beersheba is down below Jerusalem, south of it, well into the southern kingdom there. And he says, don't go there because there's not going to be any help. The Babylonians will eventually come there and wipe them out as well. But he also says, do not go to Bethel. Bethel shall come to naught. In the book of Hosea, we won't turn there, but in Hosea chapter 4, verse 15, Hosea changes the name of Bethel, and he says, do not go up to Beth-Aven. Instead of the house of God, Bethel will become Beth-Aven, the house of wickedness, the house of vanity, the house of emptiness, the house of futility, the house of nothing. There will be nothing there that can help them in Bethel. Even though that's the places that they were going to sacrifice on the altars, to worship their gods rather than worshiping the God. And so Amos says, therefore, when a fire breaks out in the house of Joseph, no one will be left in Bethel to quench it. no one will be able to put the fire out that consumes the house of Joseph. But Amos says, the Lord says, seek me and ye shall live. Now, in order for God, for them to come to God and to seek the Lord, Amos asked them to agree with God that they are guilty sinners. He names their sins and pleads with them to admit their sins. We see this in Amos verses 7 and 10 through 12. But first, Amos reminds the people of how great and powerful God is in verses 8 and 9. God is the only one that they should seek. And so we see this as a parenthesis. You might actually see that in your Bible. There's a parenthesis around verses 8 and 9. And he begins this, seek him, that is, seek the Lord, that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea and pour them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion. And the reference there is obviously to Orion, the constellation of the mighty hunter that you can see in the autumn skies now as it comes up in the southeast and raises up, and distinct by having two stars for the shoulders, two stars for the hips, a belt of stars, a saber or sword hanging down from that, and him shooting his arrow towards the constellation Taurus, the bull. You know what Orion means in Hebrew? Fool. Foolishness. Unreligious man. Pleiades is just on the other side of Taurus, so as you look through Orion, through Taurus, you'll see Pleiades. Seven stars, seven very bright stars, with a cluster of smaller stars in between. If you put your hand up, your thumb will cover Pleiades. It's so small. The stars, these two constellations, picturing God's entire creation, creation of the heavens and of earth, and of mankind, man, the fool, the irreligious one who says, no God, Orion. Secondly, Amos speaks of God and his power, and it says, and turneth the shadow of death into morning. He takes the blackest darkness of night and turns it into morning, the light of day. There's a metaphor there probably also. He takes death and brings it to life. But he takes the darkest of our nights and brings light to it. And then he says, Amos does, and maketh the day dark with the night. And so the day passes from daylight to darkness. God is in control of the day and control of the seasons. He created the heavens and the earth and man, that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them upon the face of the earth. God is the one who made everything, and he dictates the hydrological cycle where water comes, evaporates up out of the sea, condenses, gets carried over the land and drops down as rain. The rain flows down to the rivers and goes back out to the sea and gets evaporated back up again. God is in control. The Lord is his name. And Amos is emphasizing here the power of God in creation, but he's also suggesting the power of God in judgment in verse 9. That strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. That word spoiled means literally devastation or destruction. And so we could read it this way, that maketh devastation against the strong, that brings devastation against the fortress. the stronghold. J.B. Phillips translates it this way. It is the Lord who flings ruin in the face of the strong. Flings ruin, devastation in the face of the strong, and rains destruction upon the fortress. Destruction upon the stronghold, the fortress. Who's Israel, the northern kingdom, relying upon? They're relying upon their own strength, upon their army. And the Lord says, I will rain destruction upon you. I'll bring you to an end. I will devastate you. God has power over creation. He has power to wield judgment. Now, after reminding the people of God's power and judgment, Amos names their sin. In Amos chapter 5, verse 7, he says, ye who turn judgment into wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. Wormwood is a plant. You extract from it and you get a bitter taste when you put it into things. He says, you turn justice into bitterness. Their courtrooms were poisoned with injustice. They failed to correctly apply the law, which brought bitterness to those receiving injustice. Not only that, they corrupted the law. Let me find my place here. And leave off righteousness in the earth. They corrupted the law, judging falsely in their civil affairs. There were more rights for the guilty than there were for the innocent. And I think about Kim Davis there over in Kentucky. She's trying to take a moral stand for the Lord and what marriage means. And she's being attacked by those who would leave immorally. Amos chapter 5, verse 10. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. The city gate was where the elders gathered to make right judgments, to judge issues, and to transact business. You remember that from the book of Ruth, where they come and exchange the soul for the transfer of the property that belonged to Ruth. When dishonest leaders ruled unfairly or manipulated the outcome in favor of the wrongful party, a person dared to point out their wrong judgments, the false judges would stigmatize and attempt to silence the one who pointed out their false judgment. They rejected rebuke. The false judges would not be corrected. In verse 11, Amos writes this, for as much therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, you have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. They oppressed the poor. They treaded on the poor. The rich landowners overcharged their rent. Even when there's a drought going on, they insisted on getting their rent, the grain with payment for the rent. And not only that, but the leaders demanded that their taxes be paid. That even in this drought, when there's very little grain, they're exacting the taxes and leaving little for the people to eat, the poor. And what were the rich landowners and the leaders doing when they obtained these monies from the poor? They built stone mansions and they grew vineyards. And God in His justice would see to it that they would not live long in those mansions or drink wine many days from their vineyards. But the Lord would destroy them and their mansions and their vineyards. Verse 12. For I know your manifold transgressions, your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe. they turn aside the poor and the gate from their right. And they think they're getting away with it. They think they're getting away with their evil. They're oppressing the poor. They're taking bribes. They're refusing to render right judgments, that is, justice for the poor at the court in the gate. And they think they're getting away with it. But God knows the quantity, that is, their many transgressions, the quantity of their sin, and He knows the quality of their sin, the grievousness of their sins. Verse 13. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Evil so bad, so rampant, so tolerated, that those who oppose such evil will be silenced. They'll be fearful to speak up. Their interference makes no difference. It brings no change. So the righteous do not speak out against the evil. They are cowed into silence. And it's interesting, if you flip to Amos chapter 7 and verse 12, here's what Amaziah says to Amos. Get out. Go back. Don't prophesy. Get out. Go back. Don't prophesy. So Amos has named their sins. He's advised them to seek the Lord and live. He has pleaded, repent of your sin. Seek God and live and not die. Then Amos goes further and gives them another command. In verse 14, he says, seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. They thought God was with them. They were going to Gilgal. They were going to Bethel to offer their sacrifices. They thought God was pleased with them in those sacrifices. And not only that, they thought that God was with them because He was prospering them. They were enjoying prosperity. They were enjoying peace, luxury, and safety. They were living in mansions and drinking their wine from the vineyards with no threats at all from an invading army. But God was not with them, as evidenced by the evil that they did, their sinfulness, their wickedness. Verse 12, they afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor and the gate from their right. Now, let's do a little application here. If you're an unbeliever, I want you to listen to this list of sins. They're not given in any particular order. And we as believers, I want us to listen to these and decide whether in our lives we are seeking the good and not the evil. Misusing our sexuality. Taking advantage of people. Cheating. Lying, not paying our bills or taxes, aborting babies, divorcing spouses, disobeying parents, bitterness, anger, not submitting to one another, covetousness, not loving one another. Amos says, seek good and not evil. In verse 15, he tells the people, hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph, render right judgment in the gate. Amos tells them, do what's right. Now, we have the Spirit of God who can give us power to seek the good and to do what's right. Israel and the people in the Old Testament were not given the Spirit. Their command was to be obedient and live. But you'll notice the hierarchy there. They were to hear the word, hear this word. They were to seek God, seek the Lord, and then they were to seek good. So it was God, through His Word and through Himself, that would help them to be obedient. Amos says to them, do what's right. Now he says, Amos does, he gives us the result of their refusing God's remedy. In verse 16, therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the pathways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, as such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Notice here in verse 16, three names for the Lord. The Lord Jehovah, the God of hosts, that is the Lord Almighty, the one with power, and the Lord Adonai, Master. Jehovah, Lord Almighty, Adonai, Master, saith thus. He described what's going to happen in the northern kingdom. Wailing shall be in all streets. An audible pouring out of sorrow in all the streets of the northern kingdom. And they shall say in all the highways, in all the outstretches throughout the northern kingdom, alas, alas. It's an expression of unhappiness. Alas. And they shall call the husbandmen to lamentation, to wailing. The husbandmen. There's so few people. So many will die in the northern kingdom, in the cities, that they go out to the highways and byways, out to the farms, and they bring the husbandmen in, the farmers, just like Amos was, a farmer. And they'll have them to come and wail and mourn over the destruction of the northern kingdom. And such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing, even paid lamenters, paid mourners, women, to come and to pray over the destruction of the northern kingdom. And note verse 17, and in all vineyards shall be wailing. Why? For I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Pass through thee. You remember when Israel was down in Egypt and God was going to pass over the nation of Egypt. He had them to put blood from the lamb, the sacrificed lamb, on the doorposts and the lentils. And as the angel of death passed through Egypt, he passed over those who had painted the blood on the doorposts and lentils, a picture of the sacrificial blood of the Lord Jesus, covering them, keeping them from the judgment of the death angel. Here it says, I will pass through. He is going to go through the northern kingdom, and he's going to be bring judgment on them, and it'll be wailing, crying, mourning through all the vineyards. How about you? If you're sitting here today or listening on the internet and have never come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then hear ye this word. Prepare to meet your God. For God is a consuming fire, and it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But hear ye this word from Romans chapter 10. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, that it is the word of faith we are proclaiming. You may be sitting here today and you're saying, I'm not good enough. I'm a sinner. God is seeking you. The danger is if you're like the northern kingdom Israel and you say, I'm good enough. God is pleased with me as I am. Hear his word. The word of faith we are proclaiming, that Christ died to save sinners according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. He died for your sins so that you need not pay the penalty and die for them yourself. Continuing in Romans, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then walk in newness of life and seek good and not the evil. For those of us who have been born again, the book of Amos reminds us that we also need to hear his word, to seek him and to live, and to seek the good and not the evil. Let's give him praise. Father, we thank you for your condescending grace, that the God of heavens, the one who created the heavens and the earth and controls everything in it, the sovereign Lord, sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for the creature's sin. We thank you for your remedy, Lord. We pray, Lord, that if there's someone here who's not received Christ, that they would not refuse your remedy, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you might give soul trouble to anyone who hears this message, Lord. And Father, may we as believers examine ourselves. May we hear your word. Seek the Lord. Seek the good and not the evil. It's in the name of your Son that we pray. Amen.